This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to Seven Wonders in 70 Minutes, a podcast series based on the book Wanderlust, written by Julie Woods, that's me, illustrated by Ron Esplin, that's you.
Yes, it is.
In these 7 10-minute episodes, we are going to visit the seven wonders of the world through the paintbrush of Ron Esplin and the sensory diaries of that blind woman, Julie Woods. This is episode 4 and wonder 4, the Taj Mahal in India. Namaste, Ron.
Namaste.
Would you please like to describe the illustration of the Taj Mahal?
Yes, I think it's a remarkable building. A monument to undying love, I understand, and it's ivory white marble. This is why, really, in watercolour, the white is the paper. So you have to really just draw or paint everything around it. So what is around it is around it, and what is white is mausoleum. When we went to the Taj Mahal, our guide, who was Sanjeev, told us we would go down to the Diana seat, which is the way they describe where, in fact, it's become steeped in the history of Diana visiting the Taj Mahal and looking so unhappy, sitting on the seat that is just in front of an enormous pond that goes all the way up to the Taj Mahal at the end. However, Sanjeev said, we'll go down and sit on that seat. And I thought, we'll never do that because we're surrounded by crowds and crowds of people. So I picked another view of the Taj Mahal further down didn't follow the rule that had almost become the norm, was to have that pond leading up to the Taj Mahal. So I'm very pleased with the painting as it turned out. I framed it in a tree, which was much further down. It made sure that you had an understanding of the whiteness of the building. And as usual, I put a picture of a small representation of Julie and I to get an idea of the size, which is a very, very big building indeed. So, yes.
Every day I am away, I write a diary with one thing I smell, hear, taste and touch. My sensory diary entry for the day we visited the Taj Mahal, Thursday the 31st of October 2013. Smell, incense, wood smoke and sewage outside the Taj Mahal. Here, the hotel porter, Needy Pandy, saying words cannot describe how I'm feeling at this time when I gave her name to her in Braille. Taste, masala tea. Touch, the feel of the semi-precious gemstones and engraved marble on the wall of the Taj Mahal. And I think you described that marble, Ron. And, of course, the Diana seat that we eventually did get to sit on.
We did indeed. Actually, it was a bit of a trick because Sanjeev was very, very relaxed about getting us on that Diana seat. And I thought that's going to be impossible because there was a queue, you know, a mile long, certainly crowds of Indians who wanted to sit on that seat. And anyway, Sanjeev walked up to the crowd and he went, and that's how fluent I am. The crowd parted like the Red Sea, and we sat on our own on that seat as all the people stepped aside for us to do so. And we took as many photographs as we wanted to, and then we were allowed to carry on our way. And I said to Sanjeev, what on earth did you say to make them all move like that? And Sanjeev said, well, Ron, sometimes you have to play the sympathy card, which means that he explained that Julie was blind and that they would have to give her a chance to sit on that seat, otherwise it might not happen.
80% of the visitors to the Taj Mahal are from India, so it's a real pilgrimage for their people. And, of course, it was built in 1653 by Shah Jahan as a mausoleum or a in memoriam to his 14th wife, I think it was. No, yeah. it was a big number. I think she died in childbirth at her 14th child.
That's right.
And she said to him, "What are you going to do to show the world you love me?" And he said, "I will build you a mausoleum that will rival any mausoleum in the world." And of course that became the Taj Mahal, the Temple of Love as it is known, and we got to go into the mausoleum where he was later buried with his wife. And I remember we had to wear covers on our shoes.
That's right. Yeah. And no wonder she, you know, 14th child, crikey, I'm surprised she lasted as long as she did, frankly. That's a tremendous. We don't have the names of those children, I understand. It'd be pretty hard, wouldn't it?
They don't seem to be there with them, do they? I think
no.
There was a place that was left to him after he buried her. But, I mean, an astonishing monument of love, you'd have to say.
One of the great sights of the Taj Mahal is to be seen from the other side of the river, especially in the beginning of the day. Or in twilight, where the white turns to pink as the sun descends. And if you can position yourself over the Yamuna River, which the Taj Mahal stands beside, that's where all the photographers like to take a picture. So I was happy with my painting because we didn't have to go to the other side of the river.
Mm. And I have that memory of touching that wall with all those gemstones and engraved marbling. It was so intricate, wasn't it?
It was. And, of course, it takes someone who has a particular amount of wherewithal to be able to put up something like that. I'd love to do it for you, Julie, but I'm afraid I don't have the wherewithal.
Well, you can do something creative. Since
yes.
You're an artist.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah, I look forward to receiving the plans. Masala tea was something that I tried for the first time. We got picked up by our driver Narayan and taken to the Taj Mahal. We arrived a day late and we had an hour and a half basically at the Taj Mahal because it was closed the next day, and all those ordinary things can get in the way sometimes when you're doing these extraordinary things. And we, as usual, we had a short amount of time, but we stopped at a service centre on the way, and Narayan said, "Would you like some masala tea?" And I said, "I would love some." And honestly, it tasted like sweet, hot, gooey nectar. It's just a beautiful flavour that I won't forget, and it was something that I wanted to note down in my sensory diary that day.
I think it's important we mention that it is in Agra. In the northern part of England, in Uttar Pradesh, and not far from a place called Fatehpur Sikri. And Fatehpur Sikri was one of those places that ran out of water and is now abandoned. Mm. Again, how important it is to have water.
Mm. And at night we stayed in the JP Hotel, a very large hotel, and we kept getting lost. And that wonderful porter, Needy Pandy, would keep finding us and take us back to her room. And I said to Ron, "I'd like to write her name in Braille." And that was her response when I gave it to her. Dhanyavaad, Ron. Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for joining us for this episode of Seven Wonders in 70 Minutes with Julie Woods and Ron Esplin. To contact Ron, you can email him, ronesplinartist@gmail.com or julie@thatblindwoman.co.nz. You've been listening to episode 4 of 7. We look forward to you joining us for the next episode 5. Until then, Dhanyavaad.
Shukriya.
I'm that blind woman, Julie Woods, proud sponsor of Seven Wonders in 70 Minutes. The World in 360 Minutes is a sound project containing 36 10-minute episodes taking you across the globe. We started with the first series, Around the World in 80 Minutes, and then Seven Wonders in 70 Minutes. In these podcasts, we explore what we see when we travel, me through my four senses and Ron through his paintbrush. You can check me out, That Blind Woman Julie Woods, at thatblindwoman.co.nz or ring me on 021 913 513. Why not?
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.